So we're here to do some meditation this afternoon. What kind of meditation would you like to do? We could do some metta. Is that good? Or we could do some breath meditation. Or some mindfulness meditation. Any choices, preferences? Well, you're all such good meditators, you've let go of any preferences. Metta is good? We have a few requests for metta, okay. Metta it is. So I think the normal schedule is to just give some instruction for about half an hour and then do guided meditation for about 45 minutes, is that right? Talk for 15, then sit for an hour. Oh, okay, and then some questions or something? Yeah, okay. Okay, so with metta meditation, the most powerful thing about it, the most important thing about it is that it goes directly to dealing with emotions. And it goes directly to dealing with emotions in a very kind of a positive way, in a way that counteracts the most obvious forms of suffering that we have. Right? So for most of us, most of the time, the really bad suffering, the suffering that really hurts, is all of those emotions on the side of negativity, all the anger, the ill will, depression, and those kinds of things. And so through loving kindness meditation, we are not merely being aware of those, we're not merely being mindful of those feelings as they're coming and going and so on, as we do with mindfulness meditation, but we are working straight with those feelings and creating a positive emotion right there in the present. One of the reasons why I like doing metta meditation, when I first began meditating, I often found that trying to do breath meditation was somewhat dry. I don't know if you had the same experience, but sometimes when you're doing breath meditation, you know, it's like breath going in and breath going out, in and out. It's like, yeah, whatever. And sometimes you can reach the end of an hour's meditation and you're like, yeah, what was that all about? I don't know. It was just... So it doesn't have to be like that, actually. If you learn to meditate skillfully, then you can find a very deep sense of emotional connection there. But it can be quite hard to find. It's quite a subtle thing. So with the metta meditation, we're working with that emotional side most directly. You know, sometimes I've spoken to meditators, actually, more than once or twice. Quite a few times I've spoken to people who've meditated for many years. I've done sort of mindfulness-based meditations. And they're so used to seeing their emotions come and go. And after 10 years or 20 years of just watching and letting them all go, they turn around and then they realize that they actually have become kind of barren, that they feel like all of the joy has leached out of their life. And so this is why you see that the Buddha emphasized so much on the development of joy and happiness in meditation. You know, this whole idea when we say, you know, develop positive emotions and so on, and it sounds a bit like kind of psychobabble, doesn't it? You know? But actually it's how the Buddha talked about meditation constantly. And finding peace of mind in meditation is not about how many hours a day that you sit. You know, if you look in the suttas and try to see where did the Buddha say you have to sit for 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day, or no, there's not a single sutta that says anything like that. It's not about the posture that you sit in. Right? It's not about, you know, following this particular method or that particular method. It's not about following the right guru. None of these things actually have anything to do with early Buddhist meditation and what the Buddha actually taught. But what he did teach constantly, almost every time he talked about meditation, was he talked about developing these positive emotions, gladness, pamoja, piti, it was rapture, pasadhi, it's tranquility, sukha, it's pleasure. There's this rich vocabulary, somanasa, joy. All these words used to signify this positive state of mind that we're developing in meditation. And through this positive state of mind we're developing is the opposite of concentration, the opposite of one-pointedness. You know, concentration is something that's very tight and very focused and very small. It's got nothing to do with how the Buddha talked about meditation. Especially with metta meditation, he talked about developing the heart that is apamana, measureless, vipula, abundant, mahagata, become great. He said, make your mind like the earth, as broad as the great earth. Make your mind as vast as the ocean. Make your mind as vast as the sky. This is how to develop loving kindness meditation. So with all of our practice, there has to be this sense of relaxation, this sense of ease, and this sense of pleasure in what we're doing. And of all the emotions that we can experience, the most pleasurable is the feeling of love. When we're talking about metta, we're talking about a specific kind of love. Of course, in our culture, the way that we use the word love encompasses a whole range of things. But typically, if you look at how people use the word, then it's often in a kind of contractual sense. You know, I love somebody because of the way they make me feel. I love you because you make me feel good. With the kind of caveat that as soon as you stop making me feel good, that's it. Right? And this is that kind of conditional love. It's not wrong. It's just how the world is. It's just incomplete. It's imperfect. But the metta is not that kind of love at all. The image that the Buddha used is like the love of a mother for her only child. Right? And so this is unconditional. Right? The mother's not saying to the child, I'll love you as long as you make me feel good, as long as you smile for the photos. It's not making deals with her child. So this is what that metta is the metta is the love that gives only and doesn't want anything back. It doesn't hesitate. Doesn't hold back at all. The trick to doing metta meditation is to realize that you have it already. This is something which is sometimes very hard to see. We delude ourselves into thinking that we're lacking or missing love. But remember that when we talk about meditation in Buddhism, the word we use for meditation is literally the word for meditation is bhavana. Pali word bhavana. Bhavana is a causative form from the root bhu, to be. And literally it means to make something more. Right? So when we talk about metta bhavana, colloquially it means metta meditation. But really what it means, literally what it means, is to make metta more. we start with what everybody has already. And like all the aspects of Buddhist psychology, it is universal. The Buddha wasn't interested in talking about things that some people have and some people don't have. He was interested in looking at what are the fundamental qualities of the human mind. And love is one of those qualities. You all have it. You might not know it. You might not realize it. You might go through your whole life pretending that you don't, making excuses. But that's just delusion. Right? You have love in you. If you don't think that you have love in you, then ask yourself the question, do I have hate in me? Right? Hate and love are just opposites. Right? It's just two sides of the same coin. So if you have hate, if you get angered by things, then you have love and you have the capacity to love more. And that's what we're going to do in metta meditation. So, to begin with in the metta meditation, we start, this particular method that I'm teaching is based on the teachings of a monk called Ajahn Mahachatchai, who was my meditation teacher for many years. And I can only give a few details of that technique here. But just enough to get started, enough to have a taste. We begin by practicing metta for ourselves. We all had this idea in Buddhism of developing, you know, universal loving kindness. May all beings be happy. And believe it or not, you are a sentient being. And you're just as much deserving of love as anybody else is. So let's see if we can use this meditation to turn around our doubts, our nagging, critical mind. Just ignore those things. Put them to one side. Don't worry about them. They're not important. None of those things, you know, all that negativity and stuff, that never did anybody any good. Let's see if we can do something that's really beautiful and really powerful. Of course, we don't end the metta meditation by doing love for ourselves. That's only the start. But it's a very important starting point. So we don't be in a rush. But anyway, for this afternoon's practice, we'll do some metta for oneself and also for a loved person. And so before we begin the meditation, I want you all to think of one loved person, somebody who's easy for you to do metta for. And during the guided meditation, we'll do metta for oneself and for that loved person. The most important part about this practice is getting the ability or the perception to be able to actually contact and hold that feeling of loving kindness inside oneself. for this afternoon's practice. We're just giving it a shot. We're just having a go. So don't have any expectations. Some people will find that's very easy. They just begin the meditation and there it is. Other people will meditate for a long time and they just don't get it. They just can't see it. So if you can't see anything or you can't feel any of the feeling of metta, don't worry about it. Okay, we're just starting out this afternoon, just playing around. But if you're interested in the meditation, then give it a go, try it out and see. Sooner or later, you'll notice what that feels like. It'll just be there and you realize, oh, actually, it's been in me all along. I just haven't noticed it. It's like you tune in and something which you felt is like a part of you that you've been alienated from, cut off from. And suddenly it's there. And when you bring your awareness with the feeling, it's like you're just becoming whole again. Okay, so let's do some guided meditation for the next 45 minutes. I'm sitting quietly. Letting awareness settle back into the feeling of the body sitting here. noticing the sensations in your body, energies moving through different parts of the body, the pressure of the seat, the touch of cloth on the skin. And then noticing the mood, the emotion that we're carrying into the meditation. Whether it's joy or sadness, excitement or boredom, fear or hope, whatever it is, and just notice it. Be aware of it. Hold it in the mind. Leaving the mind settled in the heart, and say to oneself the words, may I be happy, may I be happy, may I be happy. Repeating those words again and again and again. Evenly, steadily, articulating them clearly to oneself. making a solid foundation for the mind. Each time the mind wanders off, you just notice that. Oh, okay. That's how it is. That's what my mind's interested in. That's where the suffering is. Oh, okay. Just notice it. Bring compassion and care to that noticing. Don't try to dismiss the thoughts or shove them away. Oh, okay. And then come back to those words, may I be happy. May I be happy. May I be happy. Make them powerful and strong. Make it clear in your mind that direction, the aiming of the mind towards happiness and peace. Notice that along with those words is something that's deeper than words, something that's much more subtle, much more beautiful. And that's the feeling of loving kindness. You'll experience it as a gentle, warm glow deep in the heart. Gently hold that feeling in the mind, keeping it close, keeping it safe. And letting that feeling of metta well up, spill out and soak through your whole body until you can feel everything in your body, from the soles of the feet to the top of your head, from the hairs on the skin through to the marrow of the bones, soaked and filled with that beautiful, warm loving kindness. And now moving to metta for that loved one. Keeping the mind just as it is. Not going over there to where that loved person is. But staying centered and settled inside your own body. Bringing in the name of that loved person. So for example, if I choose my father, then may my father be happy. May my father be happy. May my father be happy. Or whoever it is that you've chosen for the loved person, may they be happy. May they be happy. May they be happy. Maintaining the feeling of loving kindness easily, evenly and steadily through your whole body. taking that same loving kindness and spreading it out to all beings. May all beings be happy. May all beings be happy. May all beings be happy. Without hindrance, without limit. All beings across the whole world. May they be happy. May they be happy. May they be happy. Now we're coming near to the end of the meditation. From the all beings, we come back to may their loved one be happy. And to oneself, may I be happy. And letting the words of metta go, letting the feeling of loving kindness fade away. We allow the mind to come back to a neutral space, empty, open and clear. Before we finish the meditation, taking a minute to reflect back on practice we've done together. Trying to understand what it is that's just happened. What was that meditation like? What was the feeling of metta like? Did I feel anything at all? What was obstructive? What was helpful? What kinds of things was my mind obsessed with? How does my mind feel like now compared to how it was at the start of the meditation? So each time you meditate, it's a good idea to reflect like this for a minute or two at the end. Don't do that kind of reflection during the meditation, you'll spoil it. Wait to the end. Ask yourself those questions. Don't worry about whether the answers are there or not. The answers will come when you're ready. But if you keep on questioning, then little bit by little bit, you'll learn to understand the meditation better. And by understanding it, you'll make it more reliable, more steady. And finally, we can dedicate the merit of our practice. May all beings be happy. May all beings be well. May all beings realize awakening. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so we've got a few international questions here, but any questions from people here before we start? You're all too peaceful. Okay. Never mind, we'll answer these ones first and then see how we go. Okay, first one, Fred from UK. How's it going, Fred? Ajahn Brahm wrote in Mindfulness, Bliss and Beyond that most meditators find that the hardest person to give metta to is themselves and advise to start with metta for a pet. So why do we begin instead with ourselves in this meditation? Thank you. Well, I Ajahn Brahm's just wrong. What can I say? And I can prove it nice being the student of a teacher that you can say things like that and it's okay. Anyway, I can prove it. Why? I can prove that because of Veselin from Bulgaria. G'day Veselin, how are you going? What Veselin from Bulgaria says is this: when I wish myself well, I feel this warm, gentle wave in my body. When I move to the next person, that feeling disappeared. What should I do? Right? Am I right? Okay. So, Ajahn Brahm's refuted. Actually, you can't really generalize about these things. Yeah? People are very different. I've been teaching metta meditation for so many years, and you know, you get all kinds of different feedback from people. Some people it's really easy, some people it's hard, some people doing it for themselves is easy, some people doing it for other people is easy. To me, it just varies all the time. I don't make any suppositions about this. So in the suttas, the way it describes it, in the basic chant on metta, it says sabbatataya, to each as to oneself. In the and this is an idea that you find in the Saggata Vagga, in the Sanyutta Nikaya. There's a very lovely dialogue there between King Pasenadi and his chief wife Mallika. And one day Pasenadi asks Mallika, "Who do you love the most in all the world?" All right, it's a bit of a loaded question, right? For the husband to ask the wife, "Who do you love most in all the world?" Particularly when that husband is a king, then you want to make sure you give the right answer. Yeah, but as it happens, Mallika was a woman of not only wisdom, but also of guts. And when she was asked that question, she thought about it for a while and she said, "Well, if I'm going to be honest, I'd have to say I love myself more than anybody else in the world." At which the king was like, "Well, that wasn't the answer that I was looking for." And she said, "Well, this is what the Buddha said. The Buddha said that we love ourselves more than anybody else in the world." And Pasenadi grumbled and just said, "Ah, anything that Buddha says, you just say that that's what must be." So, in the classical approach to metta meditation that's taught in the Visuddhimagga, in the Theravadan tradition, it always starts with oneself and then gradually moves from there. But remember with this, this approach and this method, like all methods, meditation methods are just collections of tips and hints that are given to you by different meditation teachers to try to help you in your meditation, that's all. There's no right and there's no wrong. When I was teaching a retreat recently in Germany, and I said, so I started this out, I said, "Please don't anybody ask me, can I do this or can I do that? And please no one ask me, this teacher says do it that way and the other teacher says it to do it the other way. I haven't practiced all those methods. I can't tell you. Why should I be the expert in all these different meditation methods? I just know how I've practiced, how I've been taught. Works for me. So I'll share that with you, and if it works for you, that's good. If it's not, try something else." Yeah. So that's all that we're doing in meditation. We're just sharing these hints and trying to support you. You know, how many people in this room? 40 or so people in this room. And honestly, there's 40 different meditation methods happening. I'm only saying one set of words here. But there's 40 different sets of words going in each all of these ears. And sometimes I'm very surprised when people come back to me and say, "Oh, you said such and such and such and such." I'm like, "Really? You know, oh, okay, well, I must have done." So don't get too hung up on the details of the technique. If you find a particular approach works for you, then that's fine. If it doesn't work, then you try a different way. So when we're doing this metta practice, as I mentioned earlier, people have very different responses. So some people, they'll just do it and it just works. That's fine. Keep it simple. Other people, that won't happen at all. And so then maybe try doing different kinds of things and see what works. Yeah, but we can't generalize, so. Alrighty. So Nelu from Romania. Hello, Nelu, how are you going? How do we develop unconditional love that's immeasurable and exalted? Well, these are the. This is the description of loving kindness meditation that I mentioned earlier. Is that we find in the suttas. It's always describing it in this kind of way, and the method that I'm teaching here is one way that we can do that. We start with ourselves, sabbatataya, and then we gradually develop it. Remembering that the loving kindness that you have that's immeasurable is not different from the loving kindness that you already have now. Okay? It's just developed, it's just made more of. So start where you are. How you develop loving kindness that's immeasurable and exalted is you start where you are. Start by being realistic. Okay, and then the last question, which you already addressed from Veselin, from Bulgaria. I wish myself well, I feel this warm, gentle wave in my body. So that's terrific, that's what that feeling of loving kindness is. That's a lovely description of it. And so then you're getting that feeling going for yourself, but then when you go to the next person for the loved one, that feeling disappears. So what that suggests is that the feeling was not well developed enough, not strong enough, so keep on developing it for yourself, make it stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And then as you make that, when that's mature and strong enough, then when you go and do it for the second person, then it will remain. But don't be in a hurry with that, just be patient, take your time. And gradually, as you get experience, then you'll get a sense, you'll know for yourself when it's the right time to develop metta for the loved person and also for the other people. In the further stages of meditation, if you want to take that further. Okay, so there's our three questions. And it's nearly 15:15 now, so unless there's any urgent questions from the floor, we might wrap up there by paying respects to the Triple Gem.